Bruno. Hey, Corey Vincent here.
You can't even do it.
I can't even do it. You're going to have to teach us. You heard her voice, and if because I'm not going to edit it out, I think you heard her make a gobble noise. What's up, Emma Skies?
Not much.
Not much? Are you okay? You came in on fire today. Like, you had like a full stand-up act with bits and beats and everything. Like, you're a comedian tonight.
I think you guys just have low standards for humor.
That's probably also true. I'm not. Yeah, it is. So what's going on in Emma world, Emma Skies land?
Not much. My current priority in life, regardless of whether it should be or not, is catching up on these DC shows.
Yeah, you and this man, David Webb.
Yo, what's going on, everybody?
What's going on? Why are you guys all back into this DC thing?
I got into it to catch up because I was curious. I heard some good things about the past seasons, or like the most recent completed seasons of both The Flash and The Arrow, so I wanted to catch up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Crossover's coming up this weekend.
So for you, it's the cross-up, and so what are we expecting? You guys really excited? Is this like family TV? You all gather up with your popcorn, and you get ready to put your comments on Twitter?
I can't watch the current season, so I have to wait until it comes out on Netflix next year.
Loser.
But the crossover does look dope, so...
I'm just in it for Batwoman.
Emma, are you... You have to have realized how crossovers work. There's a recipe. Especially, they're always going to try and fight each other at some point.
Yeah.
Because you... For no reason. They'll make the dumbest of reasons. And then they come together and realize that teamwork is the answer.
Yes, that is correct.
That's what's going to happen.
That's the fine. I just want to see Batwoman.
Oh, speaking of Batwoman, he's back. Curtis Fisher, what is up?
You spoiled my whole secret identity. Thanks so much, Corey.
Sorry.
It was a really good secret, too.
Well, the reason I found out is because he invited me to his home this week. And, dude, that studio was nasty. That was sick, dude.
Thanks, man. It's just,
is that a good thing?
Yeah. Okay. It was a wall of technology. Like, I get impressed with my studio until I finally see someone else who actually has like eight different screens. Like, they all have a purpose, and he's got a keyboard in front of him and foot pedals. It's actually like a major production in his room. Yeah. In his house.
Is it like, man, the scene from The Matrix where Neo walks in and it's the old guy with all the screens all around him?
Yeah. That's basically Curtis.
And watching every piece of the simulation.
He has it on lockdown too, and like these big green screens pop up out of nowhere. You got quite the setup, dude.
Thanks, man. No, I just gotta let this Smash Ultimate, excuse me, come out, and I'm gonna be on that thing night and day and night.
I bet it was really good for you because, like, you come here all the time and I brag about my little studios and my things like that. And then we finally get to go to your place and it's like, oh, by the way, you know how you had one of those things? This one over here costs $8,000 more.
$8,000 more.
And I have it rigged up to start that car over there. Like, you have everything set up.
Yeah, man. I'd like to MacGyver it to make it, you know, just fun. You know, that's my thing. I spend a lot of time at home because, you know, I work there and just wanted to make it nice and cozy. And hey, you know, Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis, when I was dead broke, man.
Now
I got a little bit of money and, you know, I can have me some fun. So and thanks for coming over, man. It was fun. Y'all got to come over sometime too.
Yeah.
I want to play some games.
It was good. I met Leek, your partner in crime over there on, you do a podcast with him for the Sacramento Kings.
He'll come and he'll guest star because he's a Lakers fan. So,
ooh, take back every nice thing I was about to say about Leek.
I know, right? It's the same thing. I don't get it. I'm best friends with the Lakers fan. My mom is a diehard 49ers fan. She married a Raiders fan who has a Raiders room. I don't know how. But the world needs to come together like this. You know, differences don't have to divide.
More now than ever.
More now than ever.
Speaking of something you need more now than ever, Oblivion Comics and Coffee, Sacramento's number one spot for comics and coffee.
That's right.
And you need comics and coffee more now than ever.
Christmas
time, pressure. You have to buy gifts and stuff. Money's always a little tight around the holidays. But that perfect gift would be from mainframe.gg. You can go there. I'm nailing these transitions. There it is right there.
And then there was like radio silence for 5 seconds.
Oh, for the podcast listeners, David unzipped his sweater and Curtis pulled up his shirt.
Because they're wearing the mainframe USA gear.
No, you don't need to clarify that part. Just let Webb leave it there.
Yeah, I pulled up my shirt and I got a mainframe tat right across my chest.
Take our sponsors very seriously.
Oh, man. So what's going on? I feel like I haven't seen you in forever, David. You had the plague. What happened?
Yeah, I ate something crazy. I had a near-death experience last night.
What happened?
Actually. So I went downtown actually to go to Oblivion Comics and Coffee.
Yeah, I heard Sacramento's the number one spot for comics.
It is number one, yeah. And so I went down there, and I go kind of the back way to get to it because I try to avoid traffic. I try to avoid J Street. But they had roads closed off. And usually, like, Tuesday nights, I know the Kings play on Tuesdays. So I was like, okay, well, it's probably a Kings game. And so I park. I walk. It feels like the apocalypse because, like, the first part, J Street is closed, so there's no cars. There's police, like, directing traffic and yelling. And I'm just like, this is kind of weird. It was a fucking crime scene.
Oh, really?
I walked through a crime scene.
What happened? What crime was this? Like, this sounds terrible.
So, apparently, I didn't find out until later on, they found some guy at the convention center, like, brutally, like, injured. Like, whoa. I can't remember. I don't think it went into specifics of whether he was stabbed or shot. But either way, it was bad.
Dang. I'd say.
Yeah.
And how did you almost die in this?
I was going to say, where's the near-death experience? Yeah.
How is this about you?
He was near death.
I was
somebody
near
was
death.
Dying.
Oh!
I was though. Near wow. the death. No, I was fine.
That's the most clickbait bullshit I have ever heard
that
in my life.
That is morbid as fuck. And I appreciate it. Damn, that was dark humor.
So clickbait BuzzFeed wants to hire you.
Wow.
Oh, that's man. That's
I low. Was near death. You know what? That's how I hope I go out. If I was that guy
near
and I...
Near death?
And I... Well, if I'm going to die, I will be near
oh,
death.
Oh, you're going to die.
But I'm hoping that of my... Yeah.
All are.
I've come to terms with that.
Okay, good. Just wanted to be clear on the facts.
It's when I really die... I hope it becomes a punchline on someone's podcast.
Oh, it will.
To
it
appease
will.
The podcast yeah. gods, of course.
Yeah, that's the best way to go to podcast heaven.
I'll make sure it is.
Because you told that story, that's in the latter half of the podcast Bible.
But yeah.
You saved that man's soul.
That's in the New Testament.
And he's up with the Podfather right now. Wow, where did we become? You know what, guys? We've had so much fun. I'd say this has been one of the funniest shows we've had in a while already. We should just call it quits. You guys cool with that? Going home early?
Actually, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Done. Guys, let's get out of here. Later. Oh, no! Oh,
what? Whoa! We didn't see this one coming.
Damn it!
I'm so shocked. What a surprise.
Whoa. You know, we were just talking about the podcast gods. It's funny. There's no coincidences in podcasting. Nothing is by accident. It is all foretold from the podcast gods. Even podcast atheists over here get theirs in the end.
Right.
That's like, yeah. Okay, so that'd be the equivalent of saying Christian atheists. Christian I don't understand atheists. Podcast atheists.
The podcast gods are real, so if you choose not to believe them, that's
but yeah,
it's
podcast
its own religion.
You're just an atheist.
Okay, before we get into advanced religion in the podcast gods, which I will go toe-to-toe with anybody. We have to get to what we've been playing. So, Emma Skies, what have you been playing?
I finished Spyro.
Yeah!
Nice.
I cannot express to you what a wonderful, beautiful moment getting that 150th egg was. Because I think we talked about this before where I physically could not as a child.
Right.
This was a very big deal for me. This was like 20 years in the making.
Nice.
Ooh, okay. And I put it that way, it's kind of sad. Well, continue.
I'm very. It's the end of an era, right? It's like I've literally never seen the end of this game before because to get to the last area, you have to have all the eggs. I've never seen it before.
So it was all new.
It was a beautiful moment in my life that I will never forget.
Did you even Twitch clip it?
No. Somebody probably did.
For the biggest moment of your life, you would think you'd remember to Twitch clip it.
No. I'll go back to it.
Well, now I know what to get you for Christmas. That was easy.
Hey, exactly. So you're just done with the game? Trade it in now?
What is wrong with you? No.
You wouldn't trade it in?
No.
Hold on.
Because I'll continue to play it.
You never like even went to YouTube to see the end of the game?
No, because I mean, at the time, YouTube wasn't a thing.
Right.
And then years later, I just wasn't thinking about it.
Okay.
And
I'm about to say, am I that nerdy? Am I the only one who watches speedruns of their favorite games?
No.
Like, to see all the different endings that I never could?
I do like to watch some speedruns, but only of, like, retro games.
Okay.
Like, which is what Spyro is.
Right.
God, I'm
yeah,
old.
You're old. Yeah, I know. You're old.
You're old.
It's not a retro awesome. Game. And there's nothing
Soulja
you
Boy. Yeah. How Soulja many... Boy. And she was like, oh, middle school. And I was like, fuck. Was like,
how right, many years old do you think before something's called retro? Like 15 years?
No, well, for me, it's when I was a certain age. I don't uh-huh. care what you consider retro.
A decade, right?
Yeah, a decade like or something years? Like that. Yeah.
Put a 10 stack between it.
Okay, fine. Yeah.
Because if 10 years makes something retro. Uh-huh.
No, 10 years is not long yeah. enough.
No. We were 20.
10 years is not.
As fast as technology goes these days, 10 years is not. I mean, would a Motorola Razr not be a retro phone?
Did you say Motorola?
I think he said Motorola.
I said Motorola rolling with the home. Motorola Razr.
Because my point that I was going to try and make you feel super old with is that Halo is 17 years old. So if you agreed to 15, I was going to tell you Halo's a retro game.
I remember buying, I bought Halo at Funko Land.
Funko Land. Yeah.
Nice. They had a Funko Pops Land.
Oh God, you're
okay. All right,
David.
Okay. You know what?
The worst.
I was gonna ask her what else she's gonna be playing, but yeah, I don't even want to hear it anymore.
Bump that. The worst is when somebody said they found like a 3/4-inch floppy or whatever. They're like, oh, somebody 3D printed the save button.
Come on, man.
David, what you been playing?
Overwatch.
You still on that grind?
Still on that grind.
What's your rank at? You finding yourself improving, or are you just in the same? What are you doing different?
I'm afraid to play ranked. I've just been doing quick play, Mr. Heroes. I do feel like I am improving, and I've like kind of broadened my scope of what I play. So like I have a main or like one or two mains when I do defense, and then a couple mains when I do offense. So like defense. I just have one mate when I do defense. It's Symmetra.
Wait, you're a Symmetra?
Yeah.
Oh man.
You know, there's like an easy way to track your stats though, and like how good you're doing.
Oh, on the I feel like this is a punchline.
It's called competitive.
Okay, there you go.
Exactly.
So I play comp. At night. No, I play at night, so I'm not gonna play comp. I've been through this. I'm not gonna play comp unless I have people to go in with.
So you have people to carry you.
Coward.
Be a little more specific there.
No. I don't think I need as much carrying as I used to. Point being though, and you even admitted it, there's a cutoff time.
There's definitely a cutoff
time. Don't play Overwatch comp after a certain time at night.
Yeah.
So that's always when I'm playing, so I'm like not gonna do
it. Was in a six stack last night playing through some comp matches.
Yeah.
And then like one of our boys got disconnected and rejoined, and we still won the match, but yeah. It made it where we couldn't play for like 10 minutes or something. So we jumped in quick play for like the first time ever with this group. And we were all like, I'm going to play May. All right. And we were like, yeah, I don't care.
Yeah.
They're like, really? Okay. Well, in that case, another guy was like, I'm going to try Widow. Are you guys cool with that? We're like, yeah, fuck it. Who cares? So I was like, yeah, here, I'll pick Torb. Like, let's go. And so we picked this weirdest troll team, and we go into quick play, and it's tough. Like, we're giving them a good match, but we ended up losing in the end. And then the guy started, like, talking shit to us and stuff, and we were just like, okay. Now I could kind of see the difference between, like, there needs to be a third option. For like competitive, quick play, which means you're still kind of serious, and then a new mode called I'm Just Fucking Around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter who you pick or what people pick. I know you could kind of say arcade is like that, but not really. Like people kind of still try hard there. It just needs to literally be called This Doesn't Matter.
Yeah.
So when you join that match, you're agreeing that whatever takes place doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. You can't rage at nobody because it doesn't matter.
The honey badger of game mode.
Yes. That's what we need in Overwatch. I think that would be therapeutic. But it was kind of cool to go in there and, like, see what quick play was like. And then you kind of realize that that's kind of the people that ruin quick play is the ones that don't care, but they join. So that's why they play quick play.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care. When you're in a six stack, it doesn't matter. It's just fun.
Right.
But if I join it and I just say, I'm going to sim, regardless of the team comp, then I'm an asshole. And then I get, you know, banned or I get people putting complaints or saying I'm throwing. I don't like that. I don't know. End rant. Curtis, what you been playing?
Yo. Warframe.
Oh, Warframe.
Surprising.
Yeah, I know, right? Like, not my typical type of game. But I'm a person who understands that in order to grow, you got to get out of your comfort zone. So everybody kept talking about it. Some of my favorite people that like review games and stuff on YouTube. So I was like, you know what? It's free to play. I never got into Fortnite. So, but this one looks, you know, like Space Ninjas.
Space
I can get down with
can't
that.
Go wrong.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I jumped in, and I had Leek get it too. So Leek ended up getting it, and Leek, I wasn't sure if he was gonna jump in, and so like I told him to download it. I played a little bit. I fell asleep, and then when we woke up in the morning, like we both were at home, and we met in the kitchen, and I was like, "Did you play that game, bro?" And he was like, "Yeah, man, that game is crazy. Like I got to the part where like you're in the ship, and like you can like upgrade your tech," yeah. And I was like, this game is sick, right? Like, so it was cool to find a game that, you know, before, I mean, literally, like, I probably told my story on how I came back to gaming, but games like that, you literally, like, gave me anxiety when I tried to start playing games again. Like, I couldn't take it. And was a big reason why I jumped back into Nintendo, because it had all the games that I loved, and it was just fun, and it wasn't, like, all these crazy inputs and crazy timing that you needed. But something like this is kind of like training wheels for me. I know it's not, like, super advanced, and I'm still playing with a joystick, but I can get in and mash and have some fun.
You mentioned your roommate. I got to meet him when I was hanging out at your place.
Yeah.
And he's so cool.
Yeah, man.
Like, he's chill, man. He's like chill like you. So I just imagine just two dudes living together having chill conversations all the time.
Dude,
you'd be the most boring television show.
Pretty much.
Because there'd
be
no conflict, just two cool dudes shit, talking about basketball and shit.
That's the name of the show. Two cool dudes.
Two cool dudes. I'll do that reality show. That's literally what it's like living here. Like us living together, we have all these like philosophical conversations and religious conversations and then like basketball conversations and music conversations and just like all these like really dope, really cool like every day I live there, I feel like I grow a little bit. and that's why I love living with Malik. I never complain. We like, it's just a really cool, that's my brother. What else can I say? But yeah, so we, you know, we watch basketball, play NBA 2K. And so Warframe, we jumped in on that. Been playing some Mario Kart, we played some. Again, 2K. And so I got to plug this. My jersey, I scanned my jersey with the little Nike app thing, and it literally just gave me like VC for NBA 2K. Gave me like 7,500 VC.
Like an in-game currency?
Yeah. Dang. Just for scanning it with the little scan app. And then it said like monthly redemptions. I scanned it again since like after the first. It gave me another 1,500. Yeah, it gave me another 6,500.
Can you like just go to the store and scan every jersey in there?
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah. That's immediately where I went to. Is like, fuck, I'll just go down to the mall. This? And
Emma, why did you go straight to crime? Doesn't seem like your MO.
I mean,
Emma Crimes.
It's not
Emma
illegal. Crimes.
Wait,
it's
what?
Not illegal.
Okay,
it's
right.
It's like counting cards.
Point to the law. Show me the law. It says I can't do that.
I couldn't.
There is no
you
law.
You got me. You lawyered me.
Yeah. I did.
I come to you guys with my head hung low.
What have you been playing?
So, is it considered playing a game when you're doing it for work?
Yes.
Yes.
So
own up to it. You did this.
Overwatch. I love Overwatch. Fortnite.
Huh. Next segment.
And that's all we've got from Corey. He will be leaving us for the night. I am your host for the rest of the day. Here we are. Somebody mute his mic.
Hey, you missed the part in the podcast Bible I've left at your house. The part where it says that thou shalt not hate games at its core, at thy core. So.
Oh, but I do.
What that means
but I do.
What that passage means is that you can hate a game superficially, but you can't hate the game.
Yes, I can.
Truly, because it's supporting the kingdom of games.
Yes, I can.
There's so much in that Bible.
Wait. Is that the video game podcast Bible that says don't hate the player?
Hate the game. That's
and it's like asterisk, but not
but not Fortnite.
Much,
but Fortnite is excluded.
Let's roll back to tape.
That is Kaplan 316 that you just recanted.
Kaplan 316. Yeah.
So I loaded the bad boy up for serious. Like for my job, I have to be more educated on what's going on in the game. I want to understand the community
for the memes.
Better.
He needs to know the memes.
Basically, it's for the memes.
Yeah, there you go.
Pretty much
for the memes.
I reloaded the game today, played two matches, and surprised myself how well I did, considering I didn't even attempt to build anything. I didn't press the build button once. I was like, nice. I'm just going to treat it like a shooter. And I went in first game, got fourth place.
Nice.
With three kills.
Solid.
Yeah.
That's when you just run around and kill all people that are like, hey, these suckers are building. They're all distracted building. I'm just going to come shoot them in the head.
Nice.
And then the second one, I got like one kill, but seventh place. So I'm surviving. I'm just kind of chilling, walking around the map, learning stuff. Like, there's always weird side missions to do, riding a cart around and stuff. So I'm playing it. I am going to be playing a lot more of it. I do have some buddies, accountability partners, who also work with me, and we all like exchanged information so we could be friends and play together.
Gamer tags.
Gamer tags. Because we don't want to let each other fall too far down the rabbit hole. So you got to have someone with you, level-headed. Right. Make sure none of us
Our sponsor.
Yeah. You got to make sure we're not having fun.
Guys, I have a confession.
Uh-oh.
I bought V-Bucks today. Damn it, Corey!
No! No, that is against everything we just...
It's a bit, Emma.
I don't think... I hope it doesn't get that bad. Are you okay?
Yeah, no, I just smacked my mic and it hurt really bad.
That's why you should be watching us on twitch.tv/videogame_bang so you can see when Emma bangs her hand.
I got so upset that I physically hurt myself.
Oh, God. Did Emma, you video oh, game install? Bang your hand?
Hey! Anyway.
I couldn't help it. It's the dad in me.
I want to roll back to tape for a quick second and say that I 100% want to be a part of an Emma-hosted show.
Oh, Absolutely not.
Did we talk about that on the last week's show, I thought.
Did we?
Yeah, because we didn't let her. It's like we let her be the sponsor.
The first time a woman's ever done sponsor on video games.
Breaking that glass ceiling. Yeah. Break it right over your
put
head.
Put that in the VGB record books.
He did that white Republican voice really well. Sorry, I should have just said Republican.
Yeah, I know.
Hey-o!
Oh, dang. No, she did a bang up job. I would love
no,
to see.
No, I didn't. It was horrible.
A video game bang up job.
Curtis, you gotta stop.
I can't help it.
I have to give him an obligatory air horn.
No.
I'm sorry.
Can you get two more?
Tight
That's
leash.
Your favorite part of the show.
Emma.
Oh, God.
Telling the news.
Hey, we
that
go.
That lasts about 5 seconds longer than it should. It is so uncomfortable.
I was like, oh shit! Nope. And okay, now it's good.
Thank you. Wait, we gotta before we get to the news. Pratt Gamer with the subscription. Thank you, man.
I was just watching Pratt Gamer.
Were you?
Yeah. I watched Infinity War before I came here, and he was in it.
Oh yeah, Christopher Pratt.
Pratt Gamer.
Yeah. All right. So what do we got? We got so much news.
We do. There's a good amount of industry news today. And you know what? We're gonna start with some good news. We're gonna start with some good news from Bethesda.
Mm-hmm. We needed some good news.
Yeah. Bethesda has given in to the fans' outcry, and they are they're doing the right thing. They're gonna replace the bag. So
yes.
People who purchase the Power Armor edition of the game can like send in proof of purchase to Bethesda support. You know, you have until January 31st, and they will send you a replacement canvas bag.
Do you have to send in the old one?
No.
They don't want that trash.
They don't want that nylon garbage.
Why do they think they sent it out?
It cost them more to dispose of it than it would than it did to make it.
It would cost them exactly 500 atoms each to dispose of it.
Nice.
So yeah, I mean, if you bought the power edition of the armor, or power armor of the game, yeah, fuck it. I'm leaning into it. If you bought the power edition of the armor, you can contact Bethesda support, send in a ticket before January 31st, and get yourself a bag.
That's...
But
there's a but?
There is a but, and I think you want to rethink sending a ticket into Bethesda support. Because...
Wait, if anybody who paused it and then did it is going to come back and be pissed.
And now that I've said that, there is a downside because, oh, Bethesda fucked this up too.
Yeah, they did.
They finally tried to do the right thing and they royally screwed it.
What'd they do?
Bethesda support glitch revealed personal information of Fallout 76 customers. When I say personal information, I don't just mean like gamer tag or actual name. I'm talking phone numbers. Addresses, credit card numbers,
wait,
purchase histories.
Explain how that how does someone get their information?
There's a glitch. So when somebody would go in to submit a ticket on the support site.
So you're a customer and you got the wrong bag. I'm going there to get it fixed. Okay.
There's a glitch to where you submit a ticket and all of a sudden it's like a shortcut to the back end and you can see everybody else's tickets. Oh, you can open tickets. Oh, you can close tickets.
Like a fucking employee.
Yeah. Like a fucking employee.
So people were seeing full names, home addresses, email addresses, owners of the account, the type of card used, not the card number, but they were seeing the type of card used. As far as I've seen, it's not the card number, but yeah, fucking everything. And so some guy tweeted a screenshot and he was like, hey Bethesda, I can see everybody's information. This is not good, right?
Yeah.
Oh no.
Hey guys. So, guys and gals, remember when I was like, the only way this could get worse if the replacement bags or the bags that they send like make they're toxic and they make people sick?
Yeah.
I was wrong. Wow.
How? I don't understand how you fuck up this bad this many times.
Wait, but how serious is that? Isn't that like an actual like
no
issue?
That's serious.
Like that's a big serious
they
thing.
They can legitimately get in trouble by vendors, not vendors, but like credit card companies could say like, no, we don't want you to be able to like Visa could be like, no, we're pulling Visa.
Well, even
people
like
cannot use Visa to purchase from your store anymore.
Right. Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a legitimate thing.
So you have some big implications.
They can, yeah.
And the people who had their information just given away that find out about it are going to be upset. Like, can they have any repercussion or have any actions against? Can you sue someone for that?
You could sue Bethesda.
You could get – I mean, you could potentially get a class action lawsuit together.
Each could get 1,000 atoms, though. So.
But it's one of those things, like, this happens so often. What was it? There was something on Twitter. It wasn't for this. It was for another security breach a little while ago. And one of the comments on like a Twitter thread was, you know what? At this point, I may as well sell my own goddamn information because the same thing will happen, but at least I'll get something out of it.
That's true. That's a sad truth. Valid. I get so many calls at least twice a day from random phone numbers are trying to say that I owe student loans. Mm-hmm. One was like, hey, we heard you needed a back brace or something really random. I don't know why they keep calling me, and I block the number every time. But the next day, two more calls. It's ridiculous. The text messages are getting worse.
Yeah. Did you? You didn't get Fallout 76, did you?
No.
Okay.
Wait,
$10
I did.
$10 on it.
Oh
man, it's.
You know what? Ever since I had MoviePass, that service, it's been rampant with like customers like. Telemarketing calls and shit.
I don't want to give my information to anybody.
Nah.
Like, there's those people who try and get you to sign for propositions outside the store who are probably fully legitimate, but because they want my address, I'm like, I don't want to give you
that. I told them I live in a different county. They're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, but I want to be active, you know, in the community. Whatever. Now we're getting way too serious.
So if you want to give other people your information, go to Bethesda Support. Submit a ticket.
But hey, you get a canvas bag out of it.
Yeah, you might, unless somebody closes your ticket.
Oh, that's so bad. It can't get any worse. What do you do? When do you just give up?
Well, it's fixed now, but...
Is it really, though?
Well,
is it?
We'll find out what happens tomorrow. Bethesda, they've really, like...
They just don't care about anything anymore.
Not even making money.
There was a time where they were like one of the most respected companies
for
game developers.
Yeah.
Right about that New Vegas time, Skyrim time, right. And then now they're... Skyrim, and then.
And do you remember the E3 announcement, like when that Fallout thing came up and people were so excited?
Yeah.
People lost their minds over this game.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can look back just 6 months and... See what's happening.
That was the start of the downfall right there, because they had everybody eating out of the palm of their hands, and then they came out with Fallout 4, which was good and not a failure, but it was nowhere near as highly revered and reviewed. And like when Vegas came out, we were playing it for months and months and months and months and months. Yeah. Now the game's kind of already a discount. It's fans of the series didn't feel too compelled to it, and then it got even worse when they came out like Elder Scrolls Online, I think. Might have been even before that, was already kind of like, oh, okay, you guys are doing this thing now.
Yeah.
They're losing their prestige, man. I don't think anybody has it anymore. Rockstar kind of got hammered over some things on Red Dead.
Yeah.
Like, are there any companies, maybe CD Projekt Red is one that people still respect?
Well, there's we've got some good news. I found another company.
Like Bungie?
That's next.
Oh, wait.
Wait, which one?
Epic. People are happy with Epic Games right now.
Okay, what'd they do?
Epic Games is launching their own storefront. So basically a competitor to Steam.
Oh.
So the big headline on this is that developers will earn 88% of the revenue through their sales.
Wow.
Okay. For comparison, on Steam, developers earn 65% of a sale. But on the Epic Games launcher, they're going to earn 88% of their revenue.
Damn.
You know what this is a case of? Epic has obviously some huge investors over in China and stuff too. So on top of all the money they're making from Fortnite, all of the money coming in from the other ventures that their investors are tied in, like, money is not an issue. They can do whatever they want. And I guess when you're a game developer and that's something that maybe is a priority to use to making sure that, you know, nobody's doing this right.
Yeah.
And you have unlimited resources, you're going to do it.
Oh, yeah.
And all the momentum of the most popular game. 60% of video game views right now, content-wise, whether it's streams or YouTube itself, Fortnite. 60% Fortnite.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Wow.
Of all video games.
Yeah. Wow. It's insane.
So they're I mean, they're doing really well, and they finally decided, they're like, we're going to do this because Steam is clearly not doing it right. So we're going to do it right. So the big, there's some big bullet points. The one, the 88% is like the headline everywhere.
Of course, yeah.
So that's the big part. Another thing that they're really pushing is it's like a direct connection between developers and players. So basically it sounds like, it says it's going to be front and center. So I assume the home screen when you open it up is like a timeline-esque news feed. Where as soon as somebody purchases your game, they're subscribed to your feed, so you can directly tell people about patches, updates, new releases, just how your game is going, and it'll like just a complete link to your players.
That's a huge part of game development that wasn't there even just a few years ago, is that relationship between player base, and like they started making them with community managers a long time ago. Remember when that thing first started coming around, and like these people, they're paid to be in the forums, you know, and be an ambassador for the company, and that they've taken that to a whole new level. Like Sea of Thieves still, I think, has a podcast that comes out every week. And it's the developers for 15 minutes talking to the fans about the last week's worth of development, cool things that are popping up, little inside things you might not know. And it must be working.
What's fantastic about it, though, like all being in one place, is I don't have to go on Twitter and follow Activision and PUBG and Red Dead Redemption. I don't have to follow Rockstar. And like, you don't have to go out and search out all these different companies and keep an eye on them and looking for what you want. Like, it's just there on the place where you bought it, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
Another thing that they're going to do is they're leaning into like the content creator side of it. So,
I saw this.
Yeah. So you, as a developer, if you so choose, can choose to share revenue with content creators. So if somebody is broadcasting your game, you know, YouTubing your game, and that whatever link they have takes people to buy that game, that content creator gets a share of the revenue.
Nice. Twitch has incorporated that. You can buy games through Twitch. Twitch is also another one of those companies that started having video. I think they have a storefront too. It's interfaced through like Twitch Prime or whatever. You can buy games, and so they, when you give, like, they'll do giveaways for Twitch Prime users, and I've gotten free games through their store.
Oh yeah,
nice.
And Discord
has
a game store too.
Yeah, Discord just got a game store, so maybe they're something in the water.
Yeah, and that content creator thing, like, they're really leaning into that, because they said Epic will cover the first 5% of creator revenue sharing for the first 24 months. Dang. So, like, they will even cover your cost of sharing revenue with the content. Like, Epic is just in it. They have so, they're like, we want to do this right. We want this to be how this looks. And if you're like, how are they going to pay for all this? So there's going to be ads everywhere. They quoted, there will be no store-placed ads or cross-marketing of competing games on your page, and no paid ads in search results.
That
this is just like, it just sounds so good. Like, it sounds too good to be true, so I'm a little hesitant, but it sounds so good.
Yeah. What do you think? How do you feel about this? I mean, you should be morally conflicted.
I feel really good, especially given, not especially given, but despite even the fact that it's because of Fortnite. It so is. Like, it's 100% because of Fortnite. They, they even said, because of the high volume of Fortnite transactions, we can process store payments, serve bandwidth, and support customers very efficiently.
So the devil, Emma, just created this beautiful creation, and you're okay dancing with the devil in the pale moonlight?
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Hey,
because, I mean, honestly, what it comes down to is that Fortnite forced them to scale to a point where this was a possibility. They couldn't have done this before Fortnite, and they would have had no reason to scale just to do this. But because they've had to and made so much money off of it, they can now.
Necessary evil.
Yeah.
How about you guys? Like, what does that sound like? Do you think it's going to beat out Steam? Do you think it's going to survive? Do you think it's going to do well?
Like most things like that are set up like this and platforms, it depends on the talent that you can get. So they've made the bit very attractive. Like, and you have to, right? When you have a new platform, like, you have to make it appealing. There has to be incentive. Why should I leave? Why should I join this new infrastructure and put in all these man hours and these times to upload this information and all this stuff? They've given you a reason to.
Yeah.
So as long as they can attract all of the developers and they really nurture that communication between the users, the gamers, and the developers, then there's no reason. I mean, that's been the downfall of so many companies, like corporations and smaller developers. We remember back, well, we don't, some of us remember back in the 90s and the early 2000s, when like you had all these small software companies and all these developers that would just fall off left and right.
Yeah.
They didn't listen to the feedback, or did they have a proper means to get the feedback to know, hey, how do you like this? You like this game, what can we do to make it better? Now they're making a direct through line, like straight to it. If you foster this right and they don't screw this up, this could be a game changer, big time.
Literally.
I think the only person that...
James. Yeah, there we go.
I think Steam is the major competition right now, obviously. Yeah. But I think who loses in a way is the consumers, and the fact that this is just one more platform I'm going to have running in the background of my computer at all times. Because Steam is always on. Even if this new thing takes off, you have a billion gamers out there who already own a trillion games that aren't going to be able to convert them over. So, like, if you're going to want to use that library, you still have to keep Steam. Steam probably not sweating too much because of that reason. You know, I already have 600 games on Steam because the Steam sales are so good. Why am I going to start my collection all over again on another platform?
It's going to take a big developer to get in there and like and be on the store for it to really take off. And
at this point, Steam Epic is that big developer.
No, I mean another big developer besides like them.
Right.
It's gonna be like it's not gonna happen because of the it's be like an Activision has to go on and put Destiny on there for it to like.
They're already on Battle.net.
And that's what I'm saying. It's not gonna happen. Yeah. But that somebody of that caliber.
Yeah. Blizzard's one of those companies that could stand alone and do it. I think Bethesda even has their own launcher, although they are available on Steam and stuff as well.
Yeah.
But like,
I wouldn't trust a Bethesda launcher.
I uninstalled it while you told that last story.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. Like so transition takes time, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Everything. We probably didn't feel this way when Amazon first started and they were just a bookstore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But look what they've turned into. And it's been slow, but it's been steady. And, you know, so it could be the same thing for this. It's going to take some time. There are going to be some growing pains. I still have content on services that I don't even remember the password for or anything anymore. We are consumers. We consume where the source is coming from. That's just how we are. That's just how it goes. If you make the source convenient enough and strong enough and steady enough, we will go there and we will leave behind some things to do it. That's just our nature. If they get it right, people will go. Just how it is.
But you'll always have Steam somewhere so you can hop on.
Yeah. Probably. I'm sure. Yeah.
But I mean, it's so easy though because it's not like getting another console. Like, it's not like I'm switching over to PlayStation. I have all these Xbox. Like, it's the same machine.
Yeah.
It's your computer. Like, you just click a different program.
Yeah.
True.
Hopefully it works out. You see these companies, Steam tried to get into the hardware game, you know, and that's
true.
You know,
I have a Steam Link.
You do?
And a Steam controller.
Wow.
Oh.
That Steam controller's crap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you think?
I mean, to be fair, I got it on sale during the Steam sales. Okay. So.
Perfect what time to buy.
All right. What else we got?
Speaking of Steam and how well Epic is doing, Steam pisses off indie developers again.
What now?
So going back to how much revenue Steam takes a whopping 30%. Of revenue.
Ooh, okay.
When somebody from developers. That's just how the platform works. If you're selling on Steam, you're giving 30% of your sales to Steam.
Jeez.
Which sucks. Yeah. But they're kind of going to change that. They're going to switch it to a tiered system. So the default is 70-30 split, 70 to the developer, 30 to Steam.
Okay.
If you sell $10 million worth of product, that'll switch to a 75-25. So you get 5% more.
Okay.
If you hit 50 million, It's a 5% change again, so it's 80-20. So the more you sell, the more of your own money you get. And indie developers are like, what the fuck?
So I think this plays into that. Like, the big boys who are on Steam are already getting that low percentage.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The rich get richer.
Yeah. It's like Twitch. Even on Twitch, like, you know, the rate that partners make?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's not the same. You're not paying the same rate that Ninja's paying. I'm sorry. He sets his own terms because he's become that important.
He's like, right. Nah, Twitch.
And there's a lot of them up there, too, who can negotiate better rates based off of how big they get. So
leverage.
This is Steam proactively, actually not proactively, pissing everyone off.
So they're pissing off indie developers because basically AAA titles that are guaranteed to sell well and make a crap ton of money are going to make even more money.
Yeah.
Right.
Indie titles that are never ever going to hit that mark are screwed out of this.
Right.
And this is kind of coming in conjunction with a change to their algorithm that I guess came in October. Mm. So less popular games, i.e. indie games, are being shoved to the bottom of search results, just not showing up at all. Like, people saw a legit drop off in their sales when this algorithm changed, while AAA titles and popular titles that you already know about are skyrocketing to the top. Oh. I saw some guy on Twitter, he said, I actually quoted it because it made me laugh. He said, see, this is a relevant complaint, and I tend to agree. I know Assassin's Creed number 405 is coming out. Promote some lesser known gems up the list for me, please.
That's not bad. So, wait. So, for the bottom of the bottom indie developer, is his percentage still 70-30?
It's still 70-30.
So, I don't know why they could get mad. Your rate's not going to get any worse, but if you're good, you'll automatically get better. Like, without, like, it's in front of you.
I think it's just shitty.
They know it's an option, and they know that they're never going to be able to compete with Fallout New Vegas.
Right. Yeah. It's just another, it's like another way that Steam is, well, because Steam's trying to court AAA titles anyway, because all these other people are getting their own launchers. Bethesda has its own launcher. Yeah. Ubisoft has its own launcher. Like, they want your games on Steam. Steam is like, Red Dead, please come to Steam when you're on PC. They're trying to get AAA titles to stay on their platform. It's like, you already make so much goddamn money from AAA titles.
So if there's ever a time to lean into the indies and try and keep them, you know, we always say that, like, indies are the backbone of the gaming industry. If you really believe that, time to put your money where your mouth is, or they're going to be heading over to Epic, and then you're going to
straight up
not have any developers to work with you, and that'll be what puts you out of business. Interesting.
So just another way in which Steam is kind of falling behind. So Epic is not going to have this problem. Epic is only taking 12%. And as far as right now, that's not going to be different if you sell 10 copies or if you sell 10 million copies.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, it has to take, bad pun, it has to take a bit of steam out of yourselves being an indie, putting all the time and the blood and the sweat and the tears and all that into a game, pouring it in just to know, like, you're not going to get, I mean, you're going to get, you already want 100% back. You know that's not realistic, but you're going to get less back. So it does, again, it just does make it more attractive to go over there and know, like, hey, if I could, and then when you're starting something new like Netflix, right? Like, you're just like, just come over here. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, eventually I'll get a game of a House of Cards, but just keep coming, and I just got to keep cycling until I get that one that kind of skyrocket. Bingo.
Yeah, and they're starting with like a hand-curated, hand-picked group of games and then adding, like, letting more in throughout the next year.
Absolutely.
So they're being kind of careful about what they're letting in, too.
It's smart to start off that way. And then, and then you can, after you get some credibility and people say, oh, I got this game, okay, they got that game, then you can kind of start being a little bit more of a maverick and letting some other ones in. But, you know, you just have to attract the people. This is interesting. Yeah, Steam, he's falling behind.
Well, the last time we've even talked about Steam on our show was when they kind of went back on their policy on letting, like, really, really bad content on there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When they decided, they're like, you know what? Fuck it. Put whatever you want up. We're not moderating anything.
Yeah, they went total hands off on it after some controversy of getting some, like, hate speech games off. I remember, like, someone made a mass murderer game, and they ended up getting rid of it finally.
The school shooting game.
Yep. And now they're like, ah, fuck it. Like, we can't control it anymore. And maybe it's in the desperation of, like,
that's sad, though.
They kind of need those rogue games and rogue downloads to stay on their platform.
Yeah, if you're not careful how you steward things, you can put yourself in a spot like that, and that's not a spot you want to put yourself in, because damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Yeah.
In a way, and then to have negative publicity, then you got to go through that. Nintendo kind of, you know, got hit with a little bit of that earlier with some questionable indie games. Them being so uptight and very family friendly and wanted to protect that image, they loosened up the reins a little bit, and then some questionable games got, you know, indie games got out there, and it tarnished it a little bit. But I don't know. It's that's the thing about games. Like it's becoming more and more civilized, but it's still a little bit like the Wild Wild West. If you think about the gaming industry compared to a lot of other industries, it's still, it's not an infant anymore, but I mean, is it even a teenager yet?
I'd say it's about a teenager.
Yeah.
Maybe this is because it's really awkward right now.
Yeah,
doesn't know
that makes
what
sense.
It wants to be.
That makes sense.
All over the place.
Yeah.
It's going through some changes. It doesn't understand what's happening.
Yeah, to his body and all this
video
stuff.
Game puberty. Is
video game puberty. Right, I would say so. That's probably the furthest video games have gotten. So we're going to see, we're still going to see some stuff like this, but we're going to see a lot of potential. We're going to see what it could be in its best form before it does, but it's got to go through its growing pains to get there.
Yeah. I think to go on the puberty part, there's that part of you that's just always mad for no reason. And then right. That's that group who's playing the school shooter games. That we still have to regulate on these guys
right. And
figure out where it can be. And come to think of it, knowing that they took the hands-off stance
yeah. And
that those games are going to keep coming out, mm-hmm. And I highly doubt Epic, definitely not Blizzard, like all these right. Other launchers we're talking about, mm-hmm. Will have like a firm modern stance on these games.
Absolutely.
So if nothing else, Steam is just going to turn into that website you go to get naughty games.
That's going to be 4chan.
Yeah, video, it could. Ooh, like yeah. Seriously, the content in some of those games is 4chan-esque, and it's probably the yeah. Same user base.
Exactly, it's yeah. Gonna be the 4chan of game launchers.
The same dude who's using 4chan is the one probably
playing
yeah. School
that shooting
terrible
board.
Game.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh man, before we piss off 4chan again, what else we got?
Okay, so do you remember we've talked about this before? But there was that news that the Halo show was going to Showtime. Really good network, yeah. Very exciting, and you were kind of surprised that I was not
yeah. On
board.
I had mm-hmm. No idea why you weren't.
And I was like, you know what? We've been promised this before many times. This is not the first time, and I'm not getting excited until I have a product in hand. Mm-hmm. Well, the show just lost its director.
Oh, jeez.
Were they filming yet?
No, production was supposed to start next month.
So I take it this will be delayed?
We'll see. Literally the first bullet point, because I write all these notes. If you don't know, I have very good notes written out. And the first bullet point just says, shocking.
It does.
So Rupert Wyatt was the director for the show, and he said, quote, "It's with great disappointment that changes to the production schedule of Halo prevent me from continuing in my role as a director on the series." So he's out. So they're, he's gone.
So I guess we probably shouldn't be expecting too much great stuff out of this project, but what do we think? It's going to get worse now, or maybe was this a good sign? Does a good product ever come out when they fire the director, like a month before?
Well, I mean, they didn't fire him. As far as we know, they didn't fire him. They changed the production schedule, and it no longer fits with what he can do.
That's so like
if he has other projects,
creative differences.
Yeah, that's a roundabout way of firing someone, right? So, like, change the production schedule. You're not available anymore.
The good news
is that this isn't like a Solo or Bohemian Rhapsody thing where they fired him in the middle of filming.
Right.
So, okay. I mean, I don't know. It is what it is. But I'm literally just not surprised. We'll not be surprised if we never see this. I won't be surprised if it never yeah. Comes out.
Did we know whether this was supposed to be Master Chief's story? Was he in it and a character and all that?
I don't think we know anything about the story yet.
I thought he was going to be in it, but he wasn't the main character. But he was going to be like prominently featured. That was the last thing I remember reading about it.
Yeah, so the Showtime is the network that it's on. It's a great network. They have really good stuff. Like, I was excited to hear. I was like, cool, it's going to be on something good, so hopefully it'll be a good show. But the director of programming put out some very pretty words to talk about how well the show is doing.
Okay, good.
He's like, the story is very compelling. The production's going great. We're very excited about this. To kind of soften the blow of, and we regret to inform you that we are no longer working with Rupert Wyatt.
Look over here. Look over here.
It's plug and play, though. Director's overrated term.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, you know, honestly, if the showrunner is dedicated enough and they really are serious about getting this thing off the ground, they will do everything that they can to find a director to fill in. So really, that's who it's going to fall back on, unless.
And I'm sure they will. Yeah. Like, I'm sure it's not going to be like a hard position to fill, but. Right. Like it's just another thing, another hiccup in the road, another, right. You know, I can't wait to see what this is going to become. What's this show's District 9 going to be? Right. Because we all remember District 9 was supposed to be the Halo movie until it wasn't.
I didn't know that.
I had no idea.
Yeah, we talked about that last time. And oh, yeah. Yeah, you guys. Yeah. District 9 was the Halo movie. And Peter Jackson was on board to direct it. And then through so many changes across the road, Peter Jackson left. It stopped being the Halo movie. And we got District 9.
I thought he looked like Darby. It
wasn't a terrible movie.
No, it was a fine movie. Yeah. It just wasn't Halo. Yeah, it wasn't a Halo like, movie. I can't imagine the steps it took to go from Halo to District 9.
Yeah, okay, guys, right, brainstorming of... session. No bad ideas. Go.
Robot prostitutes.
Done. Right on the board.
Perfect. We'll just replace the warthog with that.
Warthog out. Nice work, Jim.
Robo prostitutes.
In.
Okay.
Yeah,
in.
So I'm not going to be excited about this until I physically have the episode on my TV. And I can watch it.
And even still, not until the credits.
And even still, yeah, not until the end of the season, and I can see what it is.
When does the new Halo come out?
We have no details.
Really?
Yeah.
Because when I was at DreamHack, there was a big Halo tournament, and one of the things that the dude I was with was saying that, like, this is the last one. Like, everyone's so hyped because this is going to be the last, you know, time for them to show what they got before the next game comes out.
Wow, maybe 2019 then.
Why does this say December 28th? Who is saying this game is coming out December 28th?
Which one?
It's not. Halo Infinite.
What if it is?
It's not.
Fact checkers?
Oh, it's like a forum post.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this person's stupid.
Okay, what else we got?
4chan.
We got a new Captain Marvel trailer, which I probably should have told you we were going to talk about this before the show so you could watch the trailer.
You can just recant it to me.
I watched it.
You watched it? Did you watch it?
I did.
Okay.
I didn't see it. Show me, guys. What is this?
All right, it opens
fantastic.
Up. Sunset on the horizon.
Ooh. That's not how it
Camera
starts at all.
Camera pans up.
Wait, this 100%. Is Star Wars.
Not how it starts at all. There's two suns.
Text. Yeah. Text on the screen. A long time ago in the galaxy.
You can't fool me. That's Star Wars.
How dare you. The nice thing about, or not the nice thing, the funny thing that I noticed right away is that they open with that scene where she attacks the Skrull on the bus, but it's the little old lady. And, like, there's a voiceover of Nick Fury describing what a Skrull is.
So Skrulls are bad.
Skrulls. Yeah, yeah. And I'm like, they had to put that in the opening because they know half the internet freaked out. They were like, why did she just punch an old lady in the last
episode? Marvel was promoting elder abuse. Yeah.
It's a bad guy.
And they were like, okay, we got to open with this. But they show, like, they show the her green suit. They show her full red and blue and yellow suit. They show the mohawk, and it looks so good. They show her going binary.
Yep.
Like, it's
super sane.
Fucking bomb. That whole, that thing and that line she gives. Woo!
And the cat.
And the cat. I could not read. I couldn't read its tag. I was trying to see what its collar said, and I couldn't read it.
Orion.
Wow.
Orion's belt. All right, wow. Men in Black. we have the same birthday. Of course, we'd get that. Okay, so two things. Oh, no. Were you going to say something?
No.
Okay.
I was laughing at Corey's face.
Two things. One, I kept watching when she was coming out of binary or coming out of the helmet at least,
yes!
Like how the hair released. Ugh. I just watched it over and over again, and I was like, they got that part down.
It's so good. There's a scene where, or just like vaguely talking about, there's a scene where she has the helmet on and you can see like the mohawk of hair, and then the helmet, it's like an Iron Man kind of thing. It just like disappears, and her hair actually falls out of it and like whoosh, and like she has a normal hair. It looks so good.
Yeah.
It's like, I just want to put that on like a reversing forth gif.
Yeah.
And just, I could just stare at that forever. It looks so good.
That's exactly what I did for like 5 minutes straight. I was like, man, they got that.
Now
down.
I gotta go watch the trailer. That's gonna be the only part I'm looking for.
It's so good.
The second thing, guys, close your ears for 20 seconds if you don't want a potential spoiler. It's definitely not a spoiler, but just do it.
I'm in the same room as you.
It's not a true spoiler. I don't know anything. I haven't seen the movie, but the cat. Am I the only one who thinks the cat is a Skrull and might scratch Nick Fury's eye out, and that's how I lost an eye?
Oh, it should be him. And that's the end credit scene. Is he sitting there talking to somebody? And that's how I lost
yeah,
my
like
eye.
he keeps the cat. He's like, "You're such a nice cat, Skrull." Whoosh. And then it.
Dang! If that's how it goes down. That would be a big debate.
Well, because one of the biggest things that you notice, and something that I personally like for Samuel L. Jackson, because so often he gets hired to play Samuel L. Jackson in costume.
Yeah.
But with this, he's not the like hardened, jaded Nick Fury. He's like lively. He is playing with the cat, and he shows like an affection for a cat, and they kind of emphasize that.
So he's acting.
Yeah, he's acting. Yeah. He's like a more jovial person. He was playing with the cat so much that she had to say... And she didn't say Nick, which I thought would have been cool, but she said Fury.
Fury.
And I bet you a lot of people in there call him Nick. They probably call him, well, except for like, well, but anyway, that's what I think. She had to pull him away from the cat, basically.
And he's
I
like, would not be. It's okay, I'll be right back.
Yeah, that's what he said. That's okay, I'll be right back. I would not be surprised if that gets used against him because they emphasized it. Just saying.
Some Steven in chat says the trailer cut with Destiny's Child's Survivor is so good.
I haven't seen that, but I want to watch it.
But I did not. I haven't seen that. I want to. We should watch that in the after show.
If that cat doesn't scratch him and he yells, "That pussy scratched my eye!" And then that's how it happens. That will be the biggest missed opportunity in cinema history.
Speaking of Marvel, I have a movie review. I watched Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Hey!
Finally. Welcome to 6 months ago.
Yep. Have you guys seen it?
Yeah.
Okay. Biggest plot hole in the entire movie because so the end credit scene is he goes into the upside
realm.
Down world,
yeah,
quantum world, and he and they get snapped away, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that means that the rest of the movie was going on simultaneously with all the other shit.
It's going
not
on,
one new story. Everything San Francisco, it's its own world. Mm-hmm. Nobody is any. There's a spaceship over New York again.
Well, maybe here's the foil for you. They never didn't say how much time had passed from like the end of the movie, the climax, to the after credits.
That's the one thing that could save them.
Could have been a few months.
That's true. That's the one thing that could save them.
Right.
I want to go back, to how you said simultaneously. What was that?
I said it exactly how you just said it.
Was it?
Yeah.
Can you?
We're out of time, guys. The show's almost over.
How was it?
Pocket Asian, can you hit that Twitch clip, please, so we can go back in time in the after show?
We don't even need the time stone. We just need a Twitch clip.
Thank you guys so much for listening to this week's episode of Video Game Bang. If you're watching in the Twitch chat, thank you guys so much. We've had some subs today, too.
Yeah.
Boy, man, this has been a good show. Thank you so much to Nobruck. Gave us that Twitch Prime subscription. Pratt Gamer subscribed. And then we had some bits dropped in there from, who else do we have? Blood Ocean. Thank you guys so much. It means a lot to us that you help the show go on. And if you listen to the podcast week in, week out, and want to support the show, you can do so on patreon.com/videogamebang, or you can go to twitch.tv/videogame_bang. Hang out with us on Wednesday and Saturday nights. You can subscribe to the show where you get access to our special emotes so that when we do certain things, you post the emotes. That's how Twitch works. So when Emma goes on one of her great soapboxes, we actually have an emote called Emma Soapbox just for you guys to let her know that we know what she's really up to. Emma Skies, what's your stream schedule looking like?
I'll be on tomorrow at 6, well, Thursday, 6 p.m. and Friday, 1 p.m. And then that's it for the week.
What games?
I'm starting a Halo run tomorrow, and then Dark Souls on Friday.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I saw that you're starting the Halo run with our good friend Aaron Carter.
Yep.
Is he streaming it, too, from his end?
No.
Oh, he missed opportunity. we'll be watching that one. David Webb, what's your stream schedule look like?
I'm not streaming until Monday.
Oh, enjoying the holidays, huh?
Enjoying the holidays.
Get a little weekend in there?
Yeah.
We're going to go look at Christmas lights,
I think. We're going to go look at Christmas lights.
Yeah.
Are those Christmas lights going to be on real trees?
Hopefully. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're outside.
And houses.
Yeah. We go up to the Fab 40s in Sacramento, California. Everyone should do it if you're around. It's a fun little time.
Yep.
Yeah.
Spike the eggnog and go out and look at some Christmas lights.
Yep.
Curtis, what are you up to?
Smash coming out on Friday. I'm just streaming like nonstop. after that. Like, I don't, it doesn't matter. I don't care. The only time I won't be, I have to go be with my crew for a little bit, and we got to, you know, break it down. I'm getting ready for Genesis. I entered Genesis, so got a lab off the stream. But yeah, like from Thursday night when Sakurai pushes the button, I'm on there. To the morning time, I'm going to take a break, take my kids to school, but I'm not sleeping. It's just going to be streaming, man.
It's going to be fun. I think tomorrow I'm going to go out and put my my deposit down on the game. I guess if you do it at Best Buy, you get like a silver coin.
What?
Yeah. So nice. I think that's where I'm going to go and do that. And then if you guys are in Sacramento and you want to hang out with us, you can this weekend on the 9th, the Sacramento Gamers Expo, a.k.a. the Sac Gamers Expo. You can get your tickets at the building, less than $10. It's at the Scottish Rite Center, which is right there near Cal. Yeah, the college, right?
Near Sac State.
Sac State. Cal Berkeley. I'm all mixed up.
Yep.
Yeah, you can get your tickets there. Hang out with us. We'll have a booth, a photo booth, and Emma's going to be selling prints, I think.
No.
Well,
not
online. So you walk up with your phone and you can...
It ends on Friday.
Yeah. And she'll give you a high five.
You're covered nicely.
Thank you guys so much. Don't worry, guys. We are going to do an after show. So stick around for that. Taminator also just subbed. Thank you so much. You guys rock. But for the real David Webb, Curtis Fisher, Emma Skies Cosplay, my name is Corey, saying you've just been banged.